music is inherent in the streets. Do you think it's just a soundtrack, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all it ever has been.
100%.
So it's whatever's flavour.
Yeah.
But they don't care for it.
Nah.
They don't care.
Most of them don't care. No, it's popular.
Yeah.
I mean, one time this guy came to book me in debt on a Sunday. So we're like, wow, okay. Mm. Gone down there. It's a christening. We're like, what the hell is this? It's a christening. Anyway, so me and debt's gone on. The same night we got Jungle Fever. So we've gone on. Hours gone. I'm like, debt, we have to go. We have to get back to London for Jungle Fever. Debt's like, Brox, what's up? I'm like, it's not going to happen. I'm like, why not? He said, you see that guy there with the hoodie? I'm like, yeah, he just took a Uzi out and said, you're not going nowhere. The Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
Street Culture TV.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Oh, my days. Killer Keller podcast. Hope everyone's all right. Central London, or as central as you need to be, choose to be, want to be. You don't want to be anywhere else. But if you need more of the love, Keller Vision app, free download for iPhone and Android for your street culture, sports, and then some. Our sponsors, the mighty GK Nifty Heads, have a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gkniftyheads.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024. Wow, it's a moment. It's a moment for the 14-year-old inside of me. A gentleman that has scoured the rave surface for decades and decades on your pirate radios, Cool FM, just to name one of many. He has binged and purged the world of drum and bass, and before, along cohorts such as MC Det. It's just, there's a lot to go through. We're going to indulge, we're going to get deep, and yes, my very good pleasure, this is Brocky Inside the Place.
Respect, man.
Well, I mean, we have had a little chat before we started, haven't we? One of the ones was speak louder in case you can't hear. No, you said that, right?
Yeah.
So I guess over the years the DJing has kind of taken its toll on the ears.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like being someone at with a Mackett drill on the roads. You're gonna get arthritis. No matter what you do, something's gonna happen to you. So just like with the ears, innit? Yeah. Over 30 odd years, that ears have been pounded.
Yeah.
So I ask people to speak louder.
Yeah, and it works. Without question, the amount of times, I mean, God, going to a drum and bass event and jumping on a microphone, cold out of the hotel and walking onto the stage.
Yeah.
And being like, what sort of sorcery volume is this? You guys, I mean, it's like it's not loud enough.
Yeah, right? It might be harder for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the MC's always a bit harder than the DJs, you know what I mean? Because we got control of the mics, of the deck, sorry, of the music, the most time, but MC's... If we ain't got control, if we got control, it's not good.
Mm.
You need to be professional. The guy on the main desk to have control.
Mm.
And then you always throw the MCs, well, up, and it's a battle for you guys. I feel sorry for you. And then you get the bad-minded DJs that were just slowly, every now and again, turning it down.
Yeah. Don't want none of it. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? I've seen them.
You've seen them, yeah. Well, you've seen a lot, my brother. I mean, that's an understatement, actually. You know, you've been in those scenarios, in many different scenarios. And I guess the first thing I have to ask is, you know, what is a situation like for Brocky on any given evening? Like when you're in those environments, you must have some of the most wildest stories to date.
Yeah.
Even more recently. There must be some crazy, crazy moments that you've seen.
Yeah. Like the whole DJing life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the most craziest moments would be watching someone. I mean, I've seen crazy moments as in people doing drugs. Mm. I've seen crazy moments as in violence. But the most beautiful crazy moments for me is watching somebody, knowing that person, if they stay on the straight and narrow, is going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, like you can see the hunger in some people and their attitude. Yeah. And you're like, that guy is going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you can see the ones who you know to yourself, you're not going to make it. You've got the talent, but you haven't got the right frame of mind to make it. You know what I mean? You're too sure of yourself, your ego's too big, or you expect too much too soon.
Mm.
But that's the most beautiful moments I've seen. It's been able to, you know, over the years. It's like being
an A&R.
Yeah, it's like driving a car, isn't it? You know, you might drive a car, you might pass your driving test,
yeah,
and have the P on your car and think you're the best driver.
Mm.
But you know, I got 20 years experience, and experience I got in the 20 years of driving my cars, I can look ahead and look and see five cars ahead and say that guy's going to crash.
Mm.
You could never do that. You might be a better car driver than me.
Yeah.
You might be a Formula One driver.
Mm.
But I can look ahead through experience and being in them situations, and just by someone, the way they move their car, something's going to happen to you.
You can kind of forecast.
Because that's experience. And that's the same with being an artist. I can look at artists and say, this guy's going to get there. You know, or this young girl's going to get there. You know, this young guy's going to get there because of the way that they got their heads in the right space.
Mm.
And they got the right, most young people, they got the right family behind them that believe in them and are pushing them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most beautiful things I've seen, you know, and just as, you know, that's it for me, really.
Mm.
The other sides I've seen, of course, I've seen the violent sides.
Well, sticking with that, because that's an interesting angle, and I'd like to highlight that a little bit, is the experience that you hold as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, big up all the others, from the Jumpin' Jack Frost, the Kenny Cairns, DJ Rap, everyone that's been on the podcast before, hail up, and you've been spoken very highly of pre-recording. You are able to use your experience to forecast and almost nurture those new characters, those people that that bring value to the scene.
Yeah,
I mean, that is, it's rare, isn't it?
It's something, because I run a group as well on Facebook. I've been running this maybe 9 years.
9 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been running a Facebook group.
That's incredible.
We've had beach parties, raves, meetups, everything.
Wow.
9 years I've been running it.
That's insane.
It's called the Brocky Group.
You must have done that like early doors Facebook.
Yeah, 9 years. This may be 9 years. And wow. I was on there just 5 minutes ago. I'm on it every day.
Yeah.
So I've always been that guy to watch and nurture. And I bring through young artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Through my group, I've given over 100 people an opportunity to show themselves, to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Play in Scala, play on proper setups, you know, be on flyers.
Yeah.
I've done that through my group. That I've been running for 9 years. So I don't I don't just walk the talk. You know what I'm saying?
I don't walk the walk, I talk the talk too. Yeah.
I am that, I do it.
Yeah.
I don't just talk it, I do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Up on Cool FM, I brought the deaf community up there.
Mm.
They're deaf.
Mm.
You know, because the guy booked me about 20 years ago, and 20 years later, I got opportunities to show some love back.
Mm.
So I brought them up there, and they're deaf. You know, I bring kids up there.
How's it work? How's would they fill the bass?
Yeah, some of them got bass packs.
Or like
bass on them. Mm.
Yeah.
And most of them, because it's computer based, you can look at the grids. So they got enhanced
vibrations.
Yeah, headphones or earplugs, but they can kind of hear, but not fully hear.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
If I show you the video, they was on for an hour.
Really, and just didn't miss a single thing.
MCing, DJing. When if you get a chance, have a look.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and they're deaf. It's called the Deaf Rave. They play at Boomtown. They have their own festival.
Wow, no.
The deaf community.
You learn something new every day. That's incredible.
Yeah, the deaf community is massive when it comes to DMB.
I wonder how that would work at beatboxing. That would be crazy.
They do all that as well.
Yo.
They do everything.
Yo, that's
they got
crazy.
They got the guy who I brought up on the show.
Mm.
There's a sign language rapper. If I show you, I can show you the clip, and he's doing all that.
He must know what he's going to say.
Yeah, but he's rapping.
Wow.
To the tune, but in sign language.
That's incredible. A mind bender. That's crazy.
And it's called a guy named Troy that runs it.
Big up Troy. That's
And he's been doing that for 20 years.
Wow.
He brought me. To hired me 20 years ago. And so I'm like, what?
Hmm?
I'm like, you.
Your mind was
blocked. How do they hear what I'm doing? How would they know who I am?
Yeah.
When I got these, they're like, Brocky. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How do you know who I am? Oh, this is to call it them, the bass. I'm like, is it? Like, wow.
Wow.
It blew me away. And I left from there to go and play in Fabric.
Wow.
So the contrast walking into a club.
Yeah.
And don't forget, no one's, the music's playing, but yeah. the lights are on. Yeah. But no one's, they're all sign languaging.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So you've got a whole room with everyone sign languaging.
Does anything surprise you, Brox? Like, you've seen a lot of things in the rave, in your whole pit. I mean, a long time you've been doing your thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a whole member of the establishment. That you're the part of the round table. Oh. You're that guy. You're like, I was surprised. I was hit. I was like, yo, you want to come through? And it, you know, didn't hear anything at first. And I was like, no, it's cool. It's Brocky. I understand. And then he hit me back. I was like, it's Dragon. Brocky's coming.
No, I know who you are.
Yeah, I'm a brother.
I know who you are.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you've.
No, because I know who you are, and I know that you've been in the scene just as long as me, and you're doing your thing,
yeah.
and it's harder for you where you're coming from than it is for me,
but
you're still
that.
There
yeah.
and doing your thing, and you haven't changed, you haven't tried to try to do something different just to fit the mold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You kept on your what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Deb was talking well about you the other day to me.
Yeah, big up, Deb.
He was mentioning, you know, I can't remember where some of you was at anyway, and you lot was all on this, and Det was mentioning it to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, big up, rest in peace, Lecky.
Yeah, that's
that
it.
Yeah,
and Det was, yeah. you know, and Det was loved it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all the guys loved it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? Because
so
you
fun.
Bring something different for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they respect that.
And again, just adding more value to my sentiment to you is. Seeing things like that, or seeing things like the death raves, or you know, going to certain places and collection of characters or audiences,
mm-hmm.
you must there must have been so many examples like that through your career.
Yeah,
because you haven't, very similar to me in many respects. You haven't deferred. You know, you get what it says on the tin with Brocky.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fuck with what Brocky's got in his tin.
Yeah,
because that's what he does.
Yeah,
but you've managed to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Cherry pick and stay in. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's been with the love of Det and the love of Cool FM.
Mm.
You know what I mean, and. I'm not, you know, that's what's helped me, and because I love the music, you know, I love the scene, I love the music, you know, it's not, you know, it's all I do, you know what I mean? I don't do nothing else, you know.
I love that about my heroes, though. I love that about artists that fucking don't try and change Brocky. Brocky does this.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I fucking
love
it.
You can't change me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean. You know, a lot of people try, you know, like with this new sound that's going on. This jump up. I play jump up.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't play jump up because it's jump up. I play jump up because I progress with the scene.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I move with the times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I like dance music.
Mm.
So I don't care if it's old school or jump up.
Yeah. It's one and the same. It's energy.
It's all the same to me.
Yeah.
It's just good music. I don't care if it's Euro, if it's whatever name they want to put on it.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Mm. I don't label music. You know, I put names on music. I think that's where we've gone wrong. Because I think jump up, the whole word of jump up is just to me just like using the word as a squat, like squat raves.
Yeah.
The, you know, it's degrades.
Yeah.
What really is.
Yeah.
A squat rave is more than just some dirty little, because my friends do illegal raves and they call it creative space.
I love them raves.
You know what I mean?
They're my favourite raves.
Yeah, but I had the guys up there yesterday.
Mm.
A whole guys from Starbase UK.
Nice.
Who do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On Cool FM yesterday. Just yesterday.
So sick.
On my radio show. Every Wednesday, I brought them up there. They sat down with me and we spoke about, on a legal station, and we spoke about creative space. Because we can't mention squats. Because people hear squats and they think of everyone in black all grungy on the floor, drugs.
It's like saying graffiti because people think the worst.
Yeah, and it's not like that.
No,
I mean, you
not.
Have got that side, but there's a better side as well.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
It's not just one, like you think, of these guys all in black, all drugged out, and these girls all nasty and ain't washed for weeks. And it's not like that.
No.
They're police and they've got medics and these guys love the scene. And the kids can't get into the clubs because they're too young, and they give them a platform.
Porta toilets, all that business.
It's
this
proper.
Is, can't call it squat raves and stuff like
it's
that.
It's proper.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just about all that as well.
Yeah.
But I have seen a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it must be mind-bending. Like when you sometimes sit down, maybe with a Horlicks at the end of a day, and you think to yourself, fuck, man, I thought I knew everything. But then something happened tonight, and I just thought, what is that all about?
I've seen a lot. I mean, like, I've seen more good than bad, thank God. You know what I mean?
That's blessed.
I've seen bad as well, but I've seen more good
than
bad. I've seen a lot of love. I've seen artists who I've known for 20, ravers I've known for over 25 years.
Talk to me about that. That is so such a romantic idea that people were there on your journey, similar to me, to be fair, but had luck.
And they're still there.
Still coming to your
race. And they bring their kids.
That's so good.
They all say, like, Brock, I'll bring my kids. I'm like, oh, God, you may be really old now. But I'm happy to be alive, so cool.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I've got four.
Four kids?
Yeah, I've got four. Two boys and two girls.
Busy man. Always Hackney. Always been from Hackney?
Yeah, everyone in Hackney. Oh, I'm East London, innit?
Yeah, come on.
That's why I stay. I'm E5, you know what I mean? I don't move from it. Like, you know, I don't dip it, I don't go over the bridge.
Community is everything, isn't it?
Everything. That's where, you know, since they've taken off youth clubs, the whole community vibe. Community now is based on social media.
Yeah.
That's not community, that's fake.
Coffee shops and bistro bars.
Yeah, and coffee shops are all middle class and posh and plush. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not about that. Yeah. You know, what about the poor street kids?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? When I say street kids, I don't mean street as in they're rough. No. I mean, they just. You know what I'm saying? You know, just a saying.
Exactly
you know
what I'm saying?
Like in street kids.
Even for the elders, you know what I mean? It's like there's got to be more places for them to hang out at fucking William Hills and an Irish pub.
Yeah.
There's got to be more to life. And I think they've done that the opposite end with kids as well.
Yeah.
They've made it really hard.
Yeah, and I think they've done it deliberately. Well, we know it's done deliberately.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Maggie Thatcher said take away this free milk and shut down the youth clubs.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was deliberate.
Yeah.
And she knew exactly what she was doing and why she was
going
to do it.
Yeah. They knew it and they kept it going.
Yeah. Mm. And of course they kept it going. All of them keep it going. If Labour win, they keep it going. Mm. Mm. They lie to us. You know, in politics, the best liar wins.
Mm.
It's simple.
Yeah, totally.
As simple as that, isn't it? Who lies the best wins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the last couple of years, Conservative lied the best, they won.
Yeah.
In America, Trump lied the best, he won.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Obama lied the best, he won.
Yeah, yeah. And then all the machine above just keeps on moving.
Who lies the best wins. And that's
facts.
And the poor public as suckers listen to those lies and believe it.
But create, and this goes back to the community values of it all, is in a world where we've got phones and we police ourselves, the one things we don't check on is our neighbours. And these conversations that we talk about, these are internal squabbles about politics.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, my friends, you know, I mute for a second. I'm like, bruv, you're not going to change. This argument only divides us, you know, and in a world in which communities really should be getting together, I think power to the people, that's what I say, do you know what I mean? It's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but community, you know, the rave scene was built on community.
That's right.
It was built on love for each other.
Yeah.
We didn't care what you was doing, what you was wearing,
no.
What sexual preference you are,
no.
And what colour you are.
No.
What's happening now is that, you know, they tried to make the rave scene look like the rave scene years ago was against them things.
Yeah.
Like, we was against...
big time.
Like, we was against transsexual guys or lesbians or gay guys. No, we wasn't.
No. But they villainised the rave.
Where did you get that from?
Yeah, they villainised the rave in newspapers. They villainised the characters.
And we wasn't against none of that.
No.
So, but now they try to make, you know, so now they're pushing through all those agendas like we was against it.
Yeah.
And like, no, we wasn't against it.
No.
And when it goes down to all that sort of side of things, like, we was never, you know, the scene was never against anybody.
No.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't care. We didn't care if you was a guy, you know, in
drugs
leggings.
Drugs you took or anything. Didn't
we
care.
We don't care as long as you're there for the music and you're having a good time. Mm. I don't care. Mm. I don't care. Why would I care? You love what I like. That's what matters to me. We're in the same building. You like what I like. So we've got that bond.
Mm.
After, you know, when you leave the building, what you do in your private life, long as you're not harming no kids or harming nobody, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not my business to care. You know what I mean? Yeah. I only care when you're in that building with me, I'm having a great time.
And it's a vibe.
How you're dressed, what colour you are, what sexual preference you got, I don't care.
Yeah.
But as long as you don't push it on me or push it on anybody else around you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just be there for the music and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Vibes, see?
That's what matters. All the rest is, you know, what's happening is that a lot of people now are using the music as a platform to push their agendas.
Mm.
And that's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And that's what I'm seeing a lot.
Mm.
Like you'd have you know, trans guys or you'd have lesbians or gay guys and they're using that pride thing to push their agenda.
Mm.
You know, I don't care. Just push music.
Mm.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Just push music. And the rest will fit in place.
Everything will make sense.
Yeah. But push the music. Show your skills. I don't care what you wear.
Mm.
You know, if you come up there and you smash it. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Because what you forget is that if people don't see you, they only hear you. Yeah. They can only judge what they hear.
That's right, 100%. And then you may be surprised, you know, you suddenly see Goldie, nothing but gold. Crazy character.
Yeah.
John B. Crazy relationship.
I love John. Like, everyone, great. All of us love John.
Yeah. And this is the thing, real characters. I mean, you know, I affect...
John's real.
Real. And I affectionately think they're WWF characters. You know, they're the kind of people that you want to see. You want to see heroes in a particular way.
Yeah.
But it's the music first, isn't it? It's the music
and
first.
John's proven that to the world.
Yeah.
With his music, he's made anthems. Oh. He's a good DJ and a great producer. And he's a lovely human being.
Mm.
You know, if he wants to wear eyeliner and, you know, have his woman's... I don't care.
It's been proven.
I don't care because you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's what matters to me.
Yeah.
You've never been spoken down to me.
Nah.
You've never been rude to me. You've always been polite to me.
Mm.
What you know, I know you don't harm nobody. You're not harming no one. So I don't care if you want to wear makeup. Why would I care?
Mm.
I'd walk down the street with you. Why wouldn't I? But because you wear makeup, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm out, man. That's too silly. That's weak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the world that's got into my head to make me think like that.
Yes, right.
You know what I mean?
Divide and conquer.
Yeah. No, I don't work that way. And where we're from the road, so we know we can't work like that. Because that's what they want to do, divide and conquer.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's codes to this road. As well.
Yeah, they are.
And if you've got these codes and you know what the codes are, you take them into the businesses, you take them into the musical genres, and you suddenly realise that, okay, we've got good moral grounds here.
Yeah.
It's when the real codes disappear.
But like I was saying, when it comes... Yeah, I've seen it all. I've seen lots. I've been to raves where... the violent side, of course. Mm. You know, we went through the whole shootings and... Yeah. Stabbings and every rave, it was house lights and tear gas.
Who was it? Foxy came on podcast and he told me a few stories about us, bro. You can check the podcast as well, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, selfless plug, but you know, we got a lot of them. 500, baby. Do the math. it's crazy, that era of just gunman behavior.
Yeah, it was. And the reason why, you know, the same thing again, I don't, it's not the rave scene's fault.
No.
All it was is that the scene.
Mm.
The music, sorry, was popular.
Mm.
And anything that's popular is like if hip-hop's the most popular thing in the street, the street thugs are going to jam to it
all the time, yeah.
If the street thugs know that hip-hop is where all the girls are, we're all going to hip-hop.
Yeah.
We don't even like hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going because we're the bad man on the street. We're the gang guys.
Yeah.
We're down, so we've got to be seen in the right places. We don't even like the music.
Mm-mm.
But... everyone else is there, so we've got to be seen here. And that's what brought the troublesome side. But we just knew that it wasn't the scenes, Paul. Just that it's because the music was so popular.
Mm.
And everybody wanted to be part of it and want a piece of it and want to be seen around it. And that's what brought the street guys in.
The don't tread on my shoes kind of characters.
Yeah, and not just that. A lot of, when we first got into the scene, like when I first got into the scene, a lot of the street guys, you know, were my friends.
Yeah.
Because that's where I come from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Between
me
and you, you know, not between you, sorry, it's a podcast.
keep on going, Brox.
I know, sorry about that.
Between you and me.
I've never had a job in my life.
Yeah.
I've never ever in my whole life done 9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I always say to people,
it's amazing.
If I've never done 9 to 5 in my life, what do you think I've done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's not even go down that road. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when I came into the scene, I had them friends with me.
Mm.
You know, friends that were going to come to the club,
they
got a gun on them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've got to say to them, Brab, you can't come in with me with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, no, why not, Brox? There's about someone in their mind. No, because I'm bringing you in. You go in and shoot someone.
You're
looking
representing
at video,
me. Yeah.
I'm finished. My career's over before it even starts.
Yeah. Represent me.
Yeah.
Do this.
I said, you can't do that. So it takes years to break off, not break off, but for them friends to understand, you know what, Brox is serious about this.
Mm.
We're on the street. He's not no more. We're going to allow him.
Mm.
We're going to... We don't even like the music anyway, you know what I mean? Yeah, so we're never going to go there with no more. We're going to let him do his thing. And that's what happened with me. And that's what happened with a lot of us, why there was a lot of trouble in the raves as well, because a lot of the artists had them friends with them still.
Okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
And a lot of friends were letting friends bring in guns into the club because you weren't getting searched because we're coming through the back door or we're just going through. And that's why security started to search the DJ because...
Do you think music is inherent in the streets? Do you think it's just a soundtrack, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all it ever has been.
100%.
So it's whatever's flavour.
Yeah.
And but they don't care for it.
Nah.
They don't care.
Most of them don't care. No, it's popular.
Yeah.
I mean, one time this guy came to book me in debt. So I went through the agency. This is years ago. This is it's like we didn't know nothing about it. So he's gone through the agency. He's paid top money for us.
Yeah.
On a Sunday. So we're like, wow, okay. Mm. Gone down there. It's a christening. We're like, what the hell is this? It's a christening.
Wow.
But this guy is about 50, but he's got a 20-year-old girl, but he's top gang guy.
Wow.
Leader.
Wow.
What? His girlfriend loves Brocky and Det. Young girl. Oh, I love Brocky and Det. Okay, I'll get them. I'm a bad man. How much it costs? A couple grand. Okay, not a problem. I book them. You know what I'm saying?
Incredible.
So we got all the way to Birmingham, got there.
What?
It's a christening.
That's incredible.
Big hall. People sitting around. We're like, oh no. What are we doing here?
How old were you? So it goes back to one of those stories that was talking
what
about.
What are we
like,
doing here?
What have I got myself
oh, no. Anyway, so me and Det's gone on. The same night we got Jungle Fever. So we've gone on. Hours gone. I'm like, Det, we have to go. We have to get back to London for Jungle Fever. Det's like, Brox, what's up? I'm like, it's not going to happen. I'm like, why not? He said, you see that guy there with the hoodie? I'm like, yeah, he just took a Uzi out and said, you're not going nowhere. And I was like, are you serious? He said, Brox, that guy right there, don't rail up Brox. He just took his Uzi out and said, we're not going. So we had people in there who we knew. So we had to let people know, like, basically, cut a long story short, we missed Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, missed London.
Right.
We weren't getting out just like that.
No.
I literally had to leave a tune on and kick. We had to get out of there. They weren't letting us go.
So what, did you bail? You just bailed?
We took my music, but I left a tune on and left. He said to us, the money he paid for us, don't forget he's coming from reggae.
Yeah.
He said, the money I paid for you, you're supposed to pay till next week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I get you.
Not 1 hour. He's like, you're mad. I paid you grand. You want to pay for 1 hour? Is that some shit? No. You ain't getting nowhere. So the guy took out his Uzi and said, you ain't getting nowhere. So we called our friends who were there. They spoke to a few people. And we managed to, he said, look, you're right, you have to pay for another hour then. We're like, we can't do that. We're going to miss our Jungle Fever set. They're like, mate, bro.
Make it happen.
I think it's best you just play for another hour and just leave it as that. So we played for about half an hour, 4 minutes, and left the tune on and sneaked out and gone.
Oh, my.
But going back to, that's how popular the music was, where this gang guy, doesn't know, but could his girlfriend, Brocky and Det, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how bad it got, you know what I mean? Where you got all these gang people involved. Mm. But the music was so popular, that's what happened.
Popularity, see? That's what
it's actually, crazy, isn't it?
Crazy, that's the maddest story I've heard.
I mean, that's nothing. I mean, I've been in debt, me, Swift. When we first went to Manchester, Sankey Soul, they shoot. They're wearing hockey masks. I've never seen no one in a hockey mask in a rave in my life. And they got flamethrowers in a rave.
That just sounds some sort of fucking.
What? It was. Sankey Soul was the most dangerous place I've ever been.
Yeah. Shit scares me. So, I said this on the Foxy one. It's like as soon as you see Trigger, you feel safe. You're like, thank God he's here. You know what I mean? Because you know the locals are in.
When they're in and they got hockey masks and. You're like, whoa.
big up Trigger, by the way.
Trigger, and they were shooting from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Taking live rounds in the building. You're like, I also want to get back to London.
Yeah, scary shit.
But they would give us a bit of respect. But I've had a gun put to me more, like, in my whole career. I had one guy, my friend, who was off his head, and I was playing one of Shy FX's, This Is How It Should Be Done. And he kept saying to me to rewind. And I'm like, that's enough.
Yeah.
And he was off his head, so he took his gun out and said to me, like, Brox. And he said sorry afterwards. It's too late, innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't take it out. He just went like that and lift up his top.
What?
I said, play, rewind it again.
Wow.
And I'm like, bruv, he's my friend, but he's off his head. He's buzzing.
It's the power of music, that. That's the power of music when it gets people.
Yeah, he like got that. Violent, you know, like, he weren't going to do nothing. Mm. But I said to him, you should never have done that. He said, I don't remember doing it. I said, that's worrying because I'm your friend.
Yeah.
If you don't remember shaming, you know, he's like, I said, bruv, you put up your top.
Yeah.
I said, even though you haven't got a gun in the building. I said, how do you get that in the first place? You came with me with that. He's like, no. I'm like, what's it for then?
Mm.
And he showed me it. And that was because he wanted to rewind. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy.
I've been in places where, we got there and the guy would say to us, don't play too much tunes that are going to get them hyped. This is one time we was in Derby and Brian G was on after me.
Big up Brian.
Yeah. So the guy's like, don't play nothing too hype. Mm-hmm. So I said to Brian, don't play nothing too hype because the crowd's ready to let off. Yeah. Brian puts Warhead on. It was like, OK Corral. Boom, boom. I'm like, later.
Wow.
I'm out of here. Pure gunshots. But the guy warned us. Because in country, them times, their salute was gunshots. In London, we weren't doing that. You know, London raves, you didn't take your gun out and shoot. No. But and up north, they were still doing
it's
that whole...
thing, yeah.
Shoot the guns in the air stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, people getting sawn offs and...
Yeah.
It was a regular thing.
Yeah.
With all the gang guys that all turned up. But we knew the gang guys because they had respect for artists. Yeah. One thing about the gang guys, we're not there for trouble, innit? We're there to make people dance.
Yeah.
So they respected us.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And that's what saved a lot of us over the years because they had respect for us. Like, yeah, man, they're cool, man. I watch them. Them man is...
Respect for the people
the music,
making
yeah.
the music.
And we come to make people dance.
Yeah.
And we're not troublesome. We're not bad, man. We just want to play, you know, we're just DJs. So they had respect for that.
Well, I mean, that harks back to sound system culture. And
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And I think a lot of people, you know, their parents grew up on that.
Yeah.
And so they understand that there's that's a protocol.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And up north, they were still much into the sound system culture. And London, we've gone beyond
that. Beyond it, yeah.
But in north, they're still, up country, they still have because you've got Bassman, you've got Spider, Trigger.
Yeah. Woo!
And the whole way the MC is based on that sound system.
That's right.
And we, you know, the first time we ever heard Bassman and Palmer the Charmer.
Wow.
When we first heard him, I was like, the girls ain't gonna like that.
Yeah.
Cliff. We know we're like, they ain't gonna like what he's talking about. Yeah. You know, big up bass. Because when he came to London, him and Palmer and the Charmer, you know, Trigger weren't even with them like that. Palmer and bass, but the first two I've ever heard talk slackness.
Yeah.
That's, as you know, it's a reggae sound system. It's a reggae thing. It's nothing in reggae.
Yeah.
But in our music,
that's like someone else. I know.
When we first heard bass, man.
Genre-defining moments like
that. Yeah, we're like, take out your... I'm like, what did you just say? Did you just say... Can I say...
Did
you just say vagina?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you didn't just... And all the girls are like, nasty. And we're like... But we're busting up laughing because we think it's amusing. We're like, wow, we can't believe you just said that.
Yeah. Clear the floor, that. The one in hip hop was Two Live Crew and people like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They would just brazenly say it and sell, you know, a million copies of records. But to do it in a dance and with a global audience, that's impressive.
They blew us away. Mm. They were the first, Bass and Palm were the first people I heard to chat slackness from up north.
Crazy.
And we thought it weren't going to last. But as you can see, they came down and they smashed it.
And I think, lyrically, from an accent point of view, I often feel like, for emceeing purposes, a northern accent really fucking works. Do you know what I mean? Like Nottingham, real good. You see, like they got a kind of almost a curl on their syllables, working the same as an American.
Oh, no, it works.
I love it.
And Londoners love them.
Yeah, exactly, it's true.
You know, Londoners, especially London girls, they love them.
Yeah.
They love that Birmingham, Manchester, Nottingham accent. They love it.
And us Southern boys like the Northern girls too. how far back do you and Det go?
We lived opposite each other.
Forever?
Yeah, not forever. I was doing something before Det. I had a guy named MC Koji.
Okay.
He used to work with me when I first started, and he dropped off. And then I brought Det on... Because I knew his brother. His big brother named Aubrey. Nice to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to come in his house and we just sit down and play Rare Grooves together.
So did you... Det informs me, and this was only on a phone call, you understand. Big up Det again. He used to break dance. He used to be a break dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he used to b-boy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's where he's from.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's where he's from.
So he used to break dance and Rare Groove.
Yeah, that's where he's from. And that's his brother. That's what I'm, you know, like I said, that's where I'm from. I'm from Rare Grooves.
I used to
play Rare Groove on Eastman Sound.
Well, like SOS Band and things like that.
Yeah. Shalimar, Barcase, Jeffrey. You know what I mean?
Renee and Angela.
Yeah, even Mantronics.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the original first album.
You ain't got to tell
Beastie
me.
Beastie Boys with a tune that spanned
Pointer
back.
Pointer Sisters. Things like that. Yeah.
When the Beastie Boys on that track that spanned back, it was like, wow, blew us away.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing to do, but no one ever done it.
Nah.
They were the first to do it.
Yeah.
They spun the tune back and rap. Like,
simple things.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I'm from.
Wow.
That's where I'm from. You know, I'm from...
See the polo scully hat. See, you should know by now.
Yeah.
Street veterans.
I'm from there. I'm from techno. Techno.
Because that's where drum and bass was forced.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Because I remember distinctively Happy Hardcore Era, your name was about.
Yeah.
Same with Slipmat SS and Fabio, and you know, your name was all in the mix, but from a happy hardcore place.
Yeah, yeah. Could we still have to play with them?
Yeah.
You know, back in the days, you know, the rave scene would be a happy hardcore guy on, then maybe a techno guy, then a jungle guy, then back to a happy hardcore.
I love that. I love that. That was the best days. Yeah.
I always say it's a shame that the ravers are so spoilt now. Mm. You know, if they have a flyer and it's not glossy, when I say glossy with a thousand names, they don't even want to come out.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I think perpetuated that? I think universities back in the day, when freshers, like the mid-noughties, freshers, they used to ramp up the thing and it was like £1.50 for a Red Bull and vodka.
Yeah.
And they all just used to go because the tickets were pretty much free and they used to have these crazy lines. It became a bit of a culture, didn't it?
And but for me, it's as an artist, of course, it's good for me and you because we get paid and we get more work. But as an artist, if I'm playing out somewhere, there's nothing better for me for an artist to express themselves. It's like if you're doing your thing and a guy on before doing exactly the same, you know, you're still going to do your thing. Mm. Might be better if someone was on before you were doing something different.
Yeah.
Because now you can really shine. You shine anyway.
Yeah.
But he gets a chance to shine. Yeah. It's his thing. But when it's all the same, you can't get the time. You know, you can't shine. And that's what I always think. The multicultural rave, not multicultural, multigender raves, to me, are the best, up to now, are still the best one.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like you'd have a guy playing hip hop, reggae, jungle, or house, or techno, but it's changes.
Yeah.
Instead of just the same boom, 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 same BPMs.
Yeah. Because people ain't got the attention for that nowadays anyway. You listen to, check out their Spotify playlist and it'll be a whole bunch of stuff. So you just, like you say, it's about genre bending, isn't
it? Yeah. It's those were the best times for me, you know what I mean? The crowd now, the ravers are spoilt. You know what I mean? And they don't know how spoilt they are in England until you go abroad.
Yeah.
And they see the lineups, they're like, oh my God, I'd pay my life to be on that.
Yeah,
or be there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's every week.
Yeah.
She's nothing. He's like, yeah, to you it's nothing, bro. Because you got your guys live there and live there. But for us, it's like, look at that.
I mean, one of the more significant moments from a drum and bass point of view with me was the world of drum and bass when we'd go places with SS, we'd go places like Australia
or
Canada.
Yeah.
And they don't have that kind of drum and bass lineup. But SS was really good at kind of choosing the right lineups.
Yeah, to make sure it works.
Yeah. As a full night. And then you'd be like, Brocky Shy Effects, blah, 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 blah. But you know, these people that come to see these events, they'd be like, we don't have a single one of you guys on any given night. Like to see this many. It was humbling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Those are the best parties. You know what I mean? When it's multi-genre lineup, where everyone who's at the top of their field doing what they do, instead of it all being the same, all of us all the same. You know, we all you know, because as I always say, when we're all there, we compete.
Mm.
All artists compete.
Yeah, it's true.
Some guys try to, you know, some guys are humble about it and some have got big heads about it. You know what I mean? Like, but we all compete. If you're playing and I'm playing after you and I don't want to better you, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to better the guy before you, what's the point?
Yeah.
Otherwise the rave doesn't pick up. This doesn't go up and up.
Goes with that energy.
Yeah, you've got to compete. It's healthy compete. It's not, I don't want to better you. I just go, wow, you smashed it. I've got to step up. I have to step up because you smashed it. If I don't think like that, what's the point? For me, I have, but to me, it's how you show it. You know, if you, you know, as long as you show the guy respect, like, you know, if you was on, I'm like, wow, that was really good. Well, you smashed it, bro. I got to step up now. Thank you. Because you made me have to step up. But if you was just sitting there doing your thing, I might feel the same.
Yeah.
So I always say competing with each other is healthy, as long as it's done in a healthy way. Not like I want to better you or I'm better than you or you know, I'm going to smash you. No, I want to be on par with you.
Because I'm here for a reason.
Yeah, I want to be on the same. I want to be on par with you. You know, I don't want to lower it.
Mm.
I want to be on the same level as you. And if people appreciate me a bit more, so be it.
Mm.
But I want to be on the same level as you because you stepped up, so I've got to step up with you. That's how I look, you know. To me, it's about being healthy. It's healthy competition.
There is an etiquette to drum and bass. And I noticed that, you know, compared to hip-hop nights, you know, it's almost like the handshakes, the vibes, the energy. And I think it is a competitive spirit. That's what I guess That's what I'm getting from even the conversation here. There is a competitive spirit in the place, almost like it's business.
Yeah.
It's business.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I even said that to all artists, up and coming artists. There's nothing wrong with one, you know, if I'm playing and you're coming after me, that you want to smash me.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. No. But just don't tell me.
Or so I really will put out the fucking...
Or don't go and tell your friends afterwards. Or don't go on social media and write, oh, my, I smashed up that. You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
Or don't talk about how you play better than other artists. Don't ever do that.
No.
That's when you lose points.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the ear of the beholder.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. It's all down to the audience at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's right. But whatever you got, however you think you played, keep it to yourself.
It's sound system attitude, though, isn't it? And it harks back many, many years.
I mean, I hate the guys that go online and, oh, I killed that, I smashed it. That's your opinion.
Yeah.
How do you know the public pen day thinking like you?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Yeah.
I hate when I see, when a lot of artists do it, you know what I mean? They go on there, oh, my, I ripped that place to a new one and, oh, my God, and what about the guy that they've already asked before you?
Yeah.
Was they crap?
Yeah.
Because when you're doing that, you're putting them down. You know, you could talk about you had a great set and you think you really played well, but don't talk about how you destroyed the whole building. Mm. What about the guys before you?
Do you think there's a responsibility within the dance as a DJ to honour the overall aspect?
100%.
The genre?
Yeah. On, like I said to everybody, if I say to my guys, when they like these young and up-and-coming guys, like, don't matter whatever stage you're playing on, you know, if you're playing with Jay-Z... Don't ever think you're a lesser person than Jay-Z, because you're on the same stage. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Don't think anything else. You're on the same stage as, you know, Andy C, just say. Don't think Andy's better. Don't start getting your mindset like, oh, my God, Andy C.
Yeah.
Don't think like that, because you're on the same stage.
Yeah, that's right.
So think positive. Think about yourself and how you're going to play well for yourself, because I'm on the same stage. Don't ever think, oh, below someone because they're a bigger artist than you.
Yeah.
Once you're on the same stage, they're not no bigger artist than you. We're all the same.
Yeah. And you're there for a reason. There's a purpose for why you're there.
This is
age and wisdom, isn't it? You know, I feel like we're speaking to the youngers in
definitely.
Bringing this up, because I think it's key. It's key to everyone's progression.
Yeah.
Within the scene.
Yeah.
But there's also something really romantic, like just going back to the Aerosol charity event with Det and Frosty and Brian and Ragga Twins, Tipper, all the guys. And I was just there thinking, yeah, man, a 20-year younger me would have thought to myself, fucking hell.
I'm not going to go near that.
But something about being with your contemporaries and that feeling like... acceptance.
Yeah, but you stole the show.
But it was... Yeah, thank you.
You did. That. I'm telling you, reason being, because you coming from somewhere else and you joined in to show your love for something else you love. You know what I mean? With what you do, the beatboxing, everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, and but everyone out, all of us lot, that's why they loved it.
Yeah.
And everyone's using your video to share.
Because
it's something... It's not just... One of us, doing the same thing as well.
It's bringing it across. Tipper did the same thing actually on that night as
there
well.
You
it was
go.
Crazy, yeah. And just to see that, because he came on podcast and he was like, "Yo, I didn't know how I was going to do what I did, but it's emceeing, so we just do it."
Yeah,
and I kind of get that with the beatboxing as well. It's so adaptable.
Mm.
From a DJ point of view, it's very adaptable,
and
you especially in them environments, you play things that are just. That make you happy.
Yeah.
It's not because it's the certain protocol.
Yeah.
Or because this is the newest song.
It was what makes you happy.
It's what makes you. Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
For an artist.
Yeah. Is it? Hope so.
Yeah.
I try to do things that make me happy. Like you know, I don't play music because it's the pop big like big popular tune. You know, I play music I like. It makes me happy.
Mm.
I don't play because someone says, "Oh, Brock, your payments are happy," because then 40 people go dance to it. No, I'm not going to play it. Because it doesn't make me happy no more. No. So I'm not playing it. I don't give a hell. I mean, why should I?
What's your most happiest... What's your happy place of a song that you'd play?
The song?
Yeah.
With music I play?
It doesn't have to be drum and bass. It can be anything.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
My favourite tunes.
Yeah.
Um,
like I saw Frosty...
Scott LaRock, I got Soul.
Ooh.
I go back in it.
Yeah,
I'm old. I'm
go.
Old, you know, so I go old
right,
school.
Now we're talking. Now we're cooking on gas. Yeah. Okay. Cool. More.
G Star. Gangsta. When it comes. I just love music, innit? So it's hard to like. My favourites is so hard. When it comes to drum and bass or jungle, I would say my favourite.
We can go era.
Yeah, 93. Mm. 93, 94.
I was banging them tapes up, bro.
Yeah. When it comes to jungle, 93. Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to changing into drum and bass, 2000.
Really, really nice. Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good
when
era.
When it kind of looked me more pendulum-y, as it is. You
know? Yeah.
It was still, it had energy. It didn't go too.
Ed Rush and Optical.
Yeah. Kind of they made some wicked.
Wormhole.
Come on. Yo. Blew us away.
Ben Forces still had their position. It was, that was a good time.
Yeah, they were brilliant artists.
Yeah.
They still are brilliant artists. Yeah. I saw them up just a couple of weeks ago playing out with them.
Yo.
It's such a beautiful thing that they're still out there doing, which they should be because they made groundbreaking music.
They really did.
That changed the whole thing.
It made me beatbox drum and bass.
Yeah.
That whole Wormhole era, I was like, oh, right. So they got sounds that are so industrious.
They was ahead of their time.
Yeah.
You know, we need them, Bad Company, you know, even down to Pendulum.
Yeah.
When they came down that little thing for us in England with Vault and a few other tunes.
Crazy.
Yeah, when they done the tune they done with Spider.
Yeah.
Tarantula.
Woo.
Yeah. He didn't get his props, but you know what I mean?
But that was an iconic song.
It still is.
Yeah.
It's the biggest... Maybe not now because Badder Dan's come along, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that resets everything, doesn't it? And we kind of highlighted we talked a little bit about it, not in a negative way, but we talked about it before jumping on, is just the era of social media and how, I guess in many ways, it kind of draws a line in the sand for every time a new platform comes along. Like it suggests that the first people to get on that platform become the OGs, when those ones before that just because they didn't get on the platform, then they're kind of discredited.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100%. I mean, social media has done good and bad for the scene.
Mm.
It's done good because it's put the scene out there to more, you know, more millions.
Yeah,
but it's done bad because it's made a lot of faked artists.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Who aren't really artists.
Mm.
You know, they only got into it because it was popular.
Mm.
Because now they can plug their phone in and buy a controller and show off to the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can cheat. I call that cheating. Because to me, you've got to do the homework first.
Well, cue jumping, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Cue jumping. Instead of cheating, that's about it, yeah.
Cue jumping more specifically.
And social media, some people that know social media inside out because they've been to university and learned business skills.
Yeah.
Then the poor guy who hasn't got business skills, but he's a better artist.
Yeah.
Technically much better, put much more work into it. But because that guy's gone to university and learned business skills, he's going to get further.
And it's not just music as well. We know
that's in life in general now. And that, to me, that's where the world, that's where life's going wrong.
Yeah. Life is going wrong with that, isn't it?
On that level of side, because talent has to shine.
Yeah.
Before popularity, to me, you've got to be, you know, because someone's popular and then you've got someone who's more talented than them, but because they're not so popular, you know, me and you know, the guy that's got the more popular is going to get pushed through than the guy with the talent.
All day. And it's a shame.
It's a shame.
Class as well, I think, you know, when you've got a background, like there's nothing wrong, class or no class, my point I'm making is, I don't think the world is ready for another Sex Pistols or Oasis.
Mm.
I don't think they're ready for another Skinny Man. I don't think they're ready for, I don't think they're ready for many people from a class and world that would actually cause friction.
No.
That would say what they really felt.
No, the last person that done that was Wiley. Look what done to him.
Yeah, look what done to him, right? That's exactly
says it
the
all,
point.
Doesn't it?
That's exactly the point. They don't want to hear it. They don't want working class people. They don't want no working.
The bigger bosses are like.
They don't even like us talking like this.
No, they don't. But Wiley says it all to me. Yeah. Good unto him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he said something that they said was what's the word? Because his manager was Jewish, so they used that against him.
Yeah.
But Wiley wasn't condemning all Jewish people.
No.
He was just condemning his manager.
And then
it just so happened his manager's Jewish. So
and
what?
And ironically, in a twist to all of this is Kanye West said a hell of a lot more worse things, and he's just got booked for some shows, and his album's coming out as if nothing happened.
He said a lot worse.
So what's that? What's that signal?
Because he's more powerful.
See, I'm saying. So it is a class thing.
Yeah, it's 100%. There is class within the rave scene.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't want that.
No. That's the problem.
You know what I mean?
None of us want it.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening now is that the biggest side of the class scene to me is that a lot of the kids now, you know, like, if you get into the scene, into music, through the love of music, you know, that meaning that, you know, you might be sitting that your brother might be playing it, or your friend might be doing beatboxing, and you love it, and you pick it up. You know, you don't, because you want to do that. But if you get into it with a business plan, that's wrong. You know what I mean? And that's what's happening now. Everyone, a lot of people got a plan.
Social media plan. They got a thingy plan. Yeah. They got a plan for this.
Yeah, it's all plans.
Which is fine. Because that's acumen, but like the music suddenly goes.
Yeah, I can't fight against it. Because that's the way the world is now. Everything's changed. But for me, it's just about, it's not authentic. You know, you planned it. It didn't happen naturally. It wasn't a vibe where it happened. You planned for this to happen. And you schemed and snaked and worked your way for that to happen. It weren't natural. Like, all of a sudden, it's just natural. Like, I remember when I first was playing out, and I was playing out for years. One New Year's Eve, I got booked to do New Year's Eve. And I remember that New Year's Eve, before the news came up, all of a sudden, my phone was ringing off. So I'm not used to this. What's going on here? We're going to book you for New Year's Eve, bro. We're going to book you. Next person, we're going to book you. All the big raves I knew I was in.
Yeah.
You know when you just know? I'm in.
For all the right reasons.
I'm in. And debt's in. We knew. Because we didn't plan this to happen. It just happened out of the blue.
Synergy.
Yeah, they just picked up on it. We're going to book you, Brock, in debt. You sure? Not really sure about it. No, Rose. All the big parties booked us. I knew we was in. But before we got to that, I remember we got booked for Rose, me and Det, and so we'd gone to Rose. This is the side, you know, this time when my head was growing.
Yeah.
But the ego was kicking in now. I'm thinking I'm the big DJ Brocky of Cool FM. I'm not even playing out yet, but I'm playing out a little thing, but I'm still getting all the friends in your ears. I'm still young.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still in my 20s.
And also the era as well. You can be led to believe because this was the main lane.
And there was no social media.
Nah, that's right.
It was all done by word of mouth.
Yeah. And skills. You have skills, you get celebrated.
Yeah. That's right. There was no one could see it unless they came to the club.
That's right.
And paid their money.
Yeah.
Or went onto the radio, you know, and sat there with their recorder and pressed it every time someone spoke.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're not going to get to hear us. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I was going to say now again about that. I'm telling you, when I started getting into it, I started losing.
So you were getting loads of gigs before you know it. When New Year's,
So the phone rang off and I knew he was in. I knew. I'll go back to that role. So Rose, when these promoters, when they first booked us, they didn't put us, you know, they were my friends. They still put me in room 2 or room 3 in the cloakroom. And that's what a friend's supposed to do.
Yeah.
A real friend.
Because you're edge rank and you build.
Yeah, you're a real friend, not supposed to feel, right, you're straight to number 1, room 1, prime time.
Yeah.
No. A real friend is like, you know what, bruv, you're my boy.
Yeah.
Start in room 2.
Yeah.
Show your worth. Let's see what you're about. Let's see if you can stick that. Let's see if you're going to get hold it down and not get upset and go behind my back and start cussing me for being me putting you in room 2.
That is calculatively clever. I rate that from a promoter's point of view as well.
Yeah, let me see. And that's why people do things like that. They put you in a position to see what you're going to do, your reaction. How are you going to talk about it? Yeah. How are you going to react to me?
You're going to act like a little bitch? Or are you going to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the word. I'll tell you polite. But you're going to be a bitch or not, you know what I'm saying? And then if you like I said, they put us in room 2, me and Rose, and me and got there. My ego's kicked in. I'm thinking I'm the big DJ. Got there, you're in room 2, Brock. So like, what? what? That's like, nah, boy, let's just do it. Rammed it out. We brought everyone out from room 1 into room 2.
I fucking
never
love
looked back afterwards.
Yeah, I love it.
Never ever done room 2 for Rose again after that.
Wow.
Ever.
Game changed everything.
Because we came there, show what we are worth from room 2 and got to room 1. you know, when it comes to the class thing now, a lot of these guys don't want to do the graph. No, they want to go straight to room one.
Fast track.
Yeah, and if they can't get into room one, they don't even want to do it.
Mm.
They're like, oh, I don't do that no more.
It's not good enough for me.
Yeah, it's not good enough for me. I don't want to do it no more.
Interesting.
We had to work. We had to work. And like you said, there was a class thing.
Yeah.
And the class thing for me is just more where a lot more middle class people get into it. When I talk about class, I'm talking about that level now, where people that got mummy and daddies, who got money behind them, you know, which is understandable because the generations have changed. Yeah. Our generation, my generation, my mum and dad, they had no money for me.
No.
It's just about paying the bills and keeping us warm and feeding us.
Yeah, I'll second that quite happily. It's not
none
really,
of that.
Yeah, there's none of that.
None of that. Like, here's £500 worth of grand. Go and buy some decks.
They were happy to see me make money off of music because they thought, well, he's fucked.
Yeah, that's right.
He's fucked it. He's left school and he's fucked it.
Yeah, you know? My mum was proud.
Yeah.
My mum couldn't believe it when I made a living out of it. Yeah, she said all her friends.
She couldn't believe it. That's
my mum's
right.
Like, my son's a DJ.
Yeah, same as.
She couldn't believe it. She's like, you make money out of that? I said, my mum's going around the world. that boom boom,
yeah.
Like, that boom boom in the ceiling. And I have to hear people like, "Mum, that boom boom is paying me money."
Yeah.
She couldn't believe it, but she was so happy because it took me off the street.
Yeah, that's right.
And she was just so happy.
All an unexpected turn could happen, but at least you're doing music and you're fulfilling your commitment to what you believe is right.
Yeah.
It's not even dreams, because we've all got dreams, but you've got to apply yourself to them dreams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But when it comes back to the clock, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I was saying, a lot of people, because they're fast-tracked now, because they've got big machines behind them, so they can be fast-tracked.
Mm.
But being fast-tracked is not always the way forward. Because
you come back quicker.
Yeah, you're not going to last.
No.
Why? Because you haven't built a found base or foundation underneath you.
That's right.
That's going to hold you up.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in this, I've been doing this now, this year will be 33 years.
33 years. Celebrate that. You know,
33 years I've been on Cool FM.
Wow.
This May will be 33 years.
Originals.
No, November. Yeah, I'm from the day, from the cockroaches.
From the jump,
and jumping the builders and running from the DTI, running from the police.
Yeah.
You know, people getting killed.
Yeah.
I'm from that era. I've been with Cool for 32 years.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know.
I mean, the association of Cool FM and you, they're just parallel. I've always seen.
Yeah.
You know, he's as good as yours. It's
Cool's, you know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And the reason I've been in Cool for so long, because my best friend ran it.
Mm.
Eastman.
Hold tight, Eastman.
Hold tight, Eastman.
All day. Yeah.
And Eastman ran it with Smurf.
Mm.
But that's why I was on there, because I'm a guy that, if you're my pal, you're my pal. You know.
You know who introduced me to Cool FM? Shocking.
Yeah.
I met Shocking for the first time. Yeah. I met Shocking for the first time when And I was really young. I must have been about 17 or 18. Big up Shocking, you know. That's if I mean him, go back. His brother was intense from the Berry Crew.
Yeah, I remember his brother. Yeah. I've been to his house in up in
Sure, it was intense. Yeah,
Holloway, them sides.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah, that's how the fault lines worked. And yeah, from that moment there, it was just like, wow, Pandora's box.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But I mean, like going back to it, I like you going back to it, but yeah, I mean, it's just the way, you know, because the students got into it as well.
Mm.
When they started doing the student parties, that's what changed the whole scene again.
The dynamic shifted.
Yeah, it changed completely, because now you've got the students who want to be DJs. And the promoters are starting to, they're thinking more student-y. So they're thinking maybe, you know, change the sound.
Mm.
You know, we need that sort of looking guy to look good on the magazine, to push the music.
Mm.
We can't have a certain image no more.
Yeah.
And that's when, to me, when the scene gets dangerous.
Yeah.
When you know, you're picking images of who you think should look good on them.
Fits the mould.
Yeah. And without you know, it gets to the point where it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes stereotyped.
Yeah.
And without sounding too horrible on social on here, it gets to the point to me where a thin line between racism.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Let's keep it real.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because I remember one year, Mampy Swift could have won the best year, and we all swore Swift is going to win this year.
Mm.
And I said to my friend, he ain't winning. And my friend's like, why do you say that? I said, I don't want to sound horrible. And I was gonna, and I hope people that's watching don't take it the wrong way.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because I don't have to prove who I am or my beliefs in anything. I'm not even gonna mention things, that stereotyping thing about who your best friend is crap.
Mm-hmm-mm.
You know what I mean? I knew Swift weren't winning. You're 15 stone, 16 stone, you're black, and you're a big guy.
Mm-hmm-mm-hmm.
You don't suit that image.
So who won in the end?
Andy C.
Andy C.
Andy. Because he suits... Not just... Andy's a great DJ. Mm-hmm. I would never tell... I told you that before. I love Andy. Yeah. I would never
and he came up from the ranks.
He came from the crack house with us. You know what I mean? With his long ponytail. So I would never knock Andy. But if it wasn't Andy C, even if it was another black guy who looked slimmer than Swift and looked more of the image, you know, or someone like Boo, someone of colour, they would have, he'd have made him win.
It's appropriation.
Yeah, but we knew Swift weren't going to win. And he should have won. Because he was the best DJ for that year. Double dropping everywhere, like fun. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Triple dropping, killing it.
Yeah.
And he got so disheartened, Swift. And if he ever sees this podcast, you know I'm not telling a lie.
No.
He left the scene. Connect.
Yeah, he did.
For 5 years.
He went.
Killed him. See, that wouldn't kill me. That'd drive me. That's the difference in people. Mm. That things don't kill me. You know, if I think I'm pushed back because of my colour, it doesn't push me back. It drives me.
Makes you want
to... watch me now. You know, I'm going to prove you... No, not just prove you wrong. I'm going to prove everybody wrong. But it drives me. I like negatives to drive me. Because I don't believe in that, you know, all that crap.
Yeah.
But as you know, it puts Swift in a situation where he's like, I'm gone. And Swift would be like, I'm leaving the scene. We're like, why? He said, what do you mean why? Why do you think why? We're like, no, Swift, don't be silly, man. That, the scene, the core base of a scene is not like that.
No.
Nothing like that.
But then you get
the ravers aren't like that.
No, at all.
Nothing like that.
No,
it's just the higher powers above.
Yeah, those higher powers. They're
that are very clinical.
Yeah,
it's just like the other day, the Grammys.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
That's right.
He had to go and talk for his wife.
Yeah, that's right.
Kanye West.
Yeah,
Kanye West had to get up there and take the thing from Taylor Swift. So what the hell?
Yeah.
It's no different.
No,
Jay-Z can't say it openly. No. Because you just took an award
and you
coming out and saying, boy, this Grammys is racist.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not business.
No, but he cleverly
said it his way. Like, how can my wife
and that's over 50...
have the most Grammys? Like, I got 20 Grammys, you got one, but you win Best Album.
How does
that doesn't work out? But we know why.
No. And also he's speaking
because
of...
Taylor Swift suits the image. This is white America.
Bruv, I don't know a single fucking Taylor Swift song. It's just not in my reader. I ain't got a clue as shit, but I'm pretty sure everyone will know. Everyone will know who Kanye West is. Everyone will know who Beyonce is. Everyone will know who Jay-Z is. I mean...
and Beyonce.
I think... yeah, exactly. I feel like maybe there's 50, 60, 70, 80 years plus worth of pent up that Jay-Z had to execute at the opportunity he had.
He had, yeah.
And maybe while that echoes some of what Kanye said, I feel like perhaps it was Kanye saying it, so people could take it as a bit kooky. Oh, yeah, but it's Kanye. He goes on these rants. But when Jay-Z says it...
They had to listen. And Kanye was a bit upset with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Because Jay-Z got upset with Kanye when he said it.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, what are you going to do that for?
Yeah.
And now look, 10 years later...
He knows.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
So now you've got to look at Kanye and say...
Yeah.
But Kanye's looking at you like...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
10 years too late.
Yeah.
Man. I'm talking for your girl, brother. You're
trying to forecast for your girl.
I had to talk for your girl.
Yeah.
I had to jump on a stage and take the mic and say, what the hell is she winning it for?
That's the realest right there. He did when Jay-Z didn't.
Because Jay-Z is part of the machine.
Yeah.
He's part of the machine. There's so much he can say before they damage him.
Yeah.
No, how much millions you got, you know, they can still damage you. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, like, they can still damage you.
Yeah, that's right.
Look what they've done to Will Smith. He's banned for 10 years from the Oscars for hitting Chris Rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're still banned him. Yeah. You're the biggest one of the biggest actors in the world.
Yeah,
but they still banned you for 10 years.
Some of these, particularly when you go into higher ranks of this.
Ranks. Yeah.
I always think, I'm always cynical even when, you know, even if Jay-Z says something or, you know, Will Smith does this, or kind of, I still feel a level of cynicism where I'm just like, well, what are they really doing behind the curtain that we'll have to get like real focused on this for? What the power's doing here? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's a deeper thing, but...
Yeah, the powers, in our scene, the powers are, you know... Don't get me wrong, I always say, but we're all self-employed. So you can do what you want. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
But if we all start doing what we want, the scene will crash.
Yeah.
There's no body.
No.
You know, and with these kids, these artists that never get through, they've always got this thing in their head that...
I'll do it my way.
There's some body, there's some gatekeepers. Yeah. That's the word I hear.
Gatekeepers.
Like, gatekeepers. Mm. I'm like, gatekeepers? In a sense, there's, you know, as we spoke about before, there is gatekeepers, but there's no gate one that can gatekeep in you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You can still push yourself through.
Yeah.
But no one can stop you. If you're talented and you've got the drive and you've got the skills, no one can stop you.
Yeah, 100%.
Nobody. 100%. It might take longer than that other guy, but you will get through.
Yeah, it's true.
Talent always shines.
Yeah, it does.
No matter what.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says.
And sometimes it takes the right timing. Sometimes it takes a moment. Sometimes you may not get it the first time and you have to wait.
Yeah.
But you've got to wait. Stay on the cycle. Because something suddenly happens and it's like, yep, fruit.
Yep, now you're in.
There's no gatekeepers.
There's no gatekeepers. There's no... How can there be gatekeepers in something that's... We're all self-employed.
Self-employed, yeah.
I always say to people, they always get these up-and-coming artists or artists that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Or there's always just gatekeepers. I'm like, who's the gatekeepers?
Yeah.
Who? You tell, yeah, you know, yeah. I've been in this for over 30 years. I don't know them. You tell me who they are.
This is folklore.
If you're talking about
folklore.
Promoters... Yeah. You do your thing and put yourself where the people's talking about you.
Mm.
If you call these people gatekeepers, they will look.
Mm.
But there's no gatekeepers because no one's stopping you from doing your own parties.
You know what I rate the most is the grime lot, you know, like Flo Dan and Wiley and Target and all those guys that, you know, they were a couple of generations down from you guys who they looked up to.
Yeah.
And they knew that jungle and drum and bass was saturated.
Yeah.
But they knew that the kids wanted something else, so they worked on something else. And now they're getting on the same billings as the drum and bass. Yeah. I just love what's such a romantic story of like, change your lane, switch it a little bit, move that way,
yeah,
and it's just fucking great.
Me and Dad work for all these guys.
Yeah.
The Soul Solids, the Wileys,
yeah.
You know, all these, you know, Storms, is Storming done.
Yeah.
You know, Storms, he does me and dub plates with our names in it.
Yeah, Storming.
And he raps.
Rest in peace, Storming. Wow.
Yeah. All, you know, we work with, you know, a lot of these, you know, these guys we work with.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the top hip-hop guys and grime, we work with these guys. And the reason why, because they got respect for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, Brox, man. And, you know, we work for you guys, man. And we're like, but you're smashing it.
Mm.
I'm like, sometimes you're like, well, I'm sure I got you that grime thing. This is a good penny. Yeah. But then you're like, no, we'll say where we are. But at one point, you know, I'm not going to lie, we were like, oh, your thing's massive. I need some of that.
Yeah. It's over the dubstep as well. The dubstep, well, I mean, geez, having a little bit of resurgence at the moment. But that dubstep may have suffered a little bit because of lack of foundation.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Dubstep was, I just personally think, one, you know, when you had names like Shrillick that got involved in dubstep,
yeah,
and the American side, yeah, and they brought and the English side started to use that, have the same name. That's when they should have changed the name.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah,
because the dubstep I like was the early dubstep.
Yeah,
Scream,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was like the whole, what the name was is what it was. Mm. It was dub.
Yeah,
like do 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 do. You're like, yeah, I can feel that. You know, bit of spliff, chill out. I couldn't rave to it,
no,
but I could feel it.
Vibes.
I liked it.
Felt like it was on the street. It was street
music.
I
loved it.
It's just soundtrack shit.
Then they got into this.
Love it.
You know, like metal sound that came into it. I'm like, yeah. Nah, yeah. That ain't dubstep.
It's too much.
The name dubstep, it started with the first word, dub.
Yeah,
that ain't dub.
No.
That's noise.
Yeah.
And that sounds like people just say like two machines banging each other's heads. You know what I mean? That ain't music to me.
Yeah.
So, it lost the flavour for me. But now it is coming back because my friends, they're getting back into it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But they're going back to the old sound.
Yeah.
The old school dubstep.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, they're you know, which is brilliant. That's what I like.
Back in again, we like.
I play it in my car all the time.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, the old stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I played dubstep tunes at 10 years old. Mm-hmm. To me, that's when it was at its best.
Yeah, 100%. I love that.
It was beautiful then. I even went to a couple and it was smoked out. It just reminded me like of going to like a Shaka rave, like a proper dub rave.
I remember them raves as
big
well.
Big bass thing. Yeah. You're like in your chest, you're like, whoa.
And you would get the reggae vocalists and
thank you.
Yeah.
Over it. Oh, you had reggae samples, a little rink, Ink.
They need a club night like that.
Yeah.
Again, though, where, you know, you've got that mesh of genres and even, you know, what's his name? Sub Low. There's a genre. What's his name? I only know him as Rich, graffiti writer Rich. No Limits. What's his name? But he was at the top, the whole sub-low genre as well.
You know, I mean, the main...
With the rappers were jumping on, and that's what created that grime effect, really.
Yeah, because, the grime and the dubstep, like I was saying, you know, them guys that were doing it, Scream, Banger, you know, they were making, I know for a fact...
Cokie, Silky, all them guys. Yeah,
they were making, like, 10 grand a set.
Yeah. And it was literally...
Banger bought... He went a bit mad. I mean, he went in. Yeah, and that's why. That's when it's the street side of it is a bad thing for you. You know what I mean? Because if you're not used to money, like lots of it, like all of a sudden you've gone from £500 a month to 10 grand a month. You know what I mean? You're not used to that. You can kind of go a bit wild. Like, meet wild, you know, you can go wild with drugs or buying clothes or buying cars or just chippiness.
It's PTSD. Just being
and then, you know, when you get that sort of money, and I remember Ben, he was buying, like, he wouldn't wear the same underwear twice. That's a fact.
Wow.
That's a fact.
Incredible. Really? Oh, wow. What about cars? Did he... Do you have the same car?
No, he bought Maseratis, Ferraris.
Stop it, really?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
He's got two cars, three cars.
Stop.
He ain't got no more.
Wow. Yeah.
Because dubstep dropped off.
Yeah.
So that 10 grand, that 40 grand a month that he was getting is gone.
It's crazy.
And that's when I say that's the only sad sign of. Let's just say anything, any walk of life.
Absolutely.
You know, you come from the street and all of a sudden you've got all this money.
Yeah. It would do anybody.
Them young guys on the street now.
Yeah.
Like, you're driving a 50 grand car, but you ain't got a job.
No.
How do you get that?
Yeah.
If I was a policeman, I'd stop you.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're a fool.
Yeah.
I'm putting you over because you're a show off and you're a fool. Because all you're doing is showing me your wealth, but you haven't got a job. Yeah. You're using a cushion to sit up in the seat. You can't even be big enough to drive the car yet.
Yeah,
but you've got a 50 grand car that some people can't get better to hold their life.
Yeah,
but you don't work.
Yeah.
But you live at mummy's house.
Yeah.
Let's go and let's see what you've got under your bed at mummy's house. Because I'm sure it'd be something metal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because otherwise, how do you get that?
And crypto-y and laundry-y, things like that. Yeah, the street shows no mercy.
Yeah. So the whole street movement is a beautiful thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Without the street movement, there wouldn't be the scene.
No.
And that's why, like you say, it's a community thing. And that's why I still try to keep, with me, grounded... I try to help as many people as I can through my group.
Mm.
I've given over 100 people platforms to perform in raves I've done. I bring deaf people up, under 16s. I bring name artists, unnamed artists, because I'm still that youth club guy, community guy.
Mm.
That's where I'm from.
Mm.
And I believe that if you help somebody, genuinely help them, and they're the real deal,
they're flourish.
Not everyone's going to come back and help you or say thank you, but some will.
Mm.
And you help the right people. Don't help people to get a return, but at the same time, if you're helping them, it'd be nice for them to say thank you afterwards.
Mm.
Or they might be the guy that might all of a sudden become the biggest thing in the world.
And they'll flourish.
And then they're like, get that help to me. Brocky helped me. Mate, come on.
Mm.
You're on the same stage as me.
Mm.
Thank you.
Each one teach one. Yeah, it's like each one teach one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You're like, thanks, bro. Yeah. Nah, Brox, you're up here. We're going on tour. Why? Because you believed in me and you helped me. Thank you. I didn't want to return, mate. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But a lot of the new cats don't think like that.
Well, you've heard it. That's where you should do it. Manage it like that. That's what cultivates a scene.
Yeah.
A lot
of new cats don't think like that. They're like, I'm here today. You know, what the saddest thing is, like, for me, that within the scene is that lots of artists who I know personally, they're here today with us all, and then all of a sudden a big company comes along, someone comes along, and they start forgetting everybody.
Right. Mm.
Like I said, they don't answer the phone to you no more. Then they come with this crap. This is something I don't understand, because everyone's different.
Mm.
But everyone says, Brox, you're not, you know, until you're in that position, you won't know. So I'm asking your opinion. Right, so my thing about the new artists that get big is that you was giving me all your tunes, but now you're signed to this big label, but don't forget, and this label's told you, you can't give Brocky. Right, so this is my argument. This is typical, because I say to people, everyone's different.
Mm.
if someone came to me, if I was giving you my tunes all my life, first proposal, you're blasting, playing.
Yeah.
I don't care who I signed for. My contract was saying, I want to give you still.
Yeah, that's right. Stipulated.
Because you're
somewhere.
You come to me. Yeah. If you come to me because I'm shining and I'm making waves and like, oh, Brocky, we want to sign your label. We want to sign your music. And I'm saying, so as far as I'm concerned, the ball's in my court.
Yeah.
But what a lot of artists do, and they lie, big artists, as far as I'm concerned, they're lying or they're scared or because they're so greasy, they don't say to that big guy, nah, yeah, thanks for signing. You know, I'm definitely going to sign that paper for you, but I want to make sure these three guys... club helped me out to get to this position where I am signing that paper where you notice me.
Yeah, gets the boost.
Get refusals to my music.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that label guy says, nah, we can't do that, most guys are scared to say, well, I'm not signing
there. Yeah, that's because they're scared of what the repercussions are.
Yeah, they're scared.
Are. Yeah.
So they say, okay.
Yeah.
I won't give him no more. So all of a sudden, you're ringing up, I'm ringing up. Oh, no, I can't give you that.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, because my management.
Yeah.
Your manager telling you can't give me, I'm your friend.
They're controlled.
I'm your friend. And you're telling me you can't give me.
Yeah.
I can't come and DJ for you tonight. Why? Oh, because my manager says it's not a good look. What?
Yeah.
It's not a good look to come play for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Where did it happen?
I get
because
it.
Because last year you would have come play for nothing.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me you can't do it for me no more because your management said so.
I don't know what the fuck that's about.
That's what I hate about the scene. But I've seen a lot of artists who've gone big and switch on their friends.
Yeah.
Scared to say to the big guy, nah, I'm making sure he gets my music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I'm making sure he's at every show with me. Or I'm making sure we do these shows for my friends still. Like, you can, you know, I remember I was going to join a big agency and they said to me, oh, yeah, but you can't do too many Jungle Fevers.
Yeah.
That's my friend's rave.
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Yeah.
It's not just my friend, that's my best friend. And he's put me on every Jungle Fever he's ever done. Mm. And you're telling me now it's not a good look to do them.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, and it's kind of gutless when people...
It's horrible.
...do that,
it's sicky.
Yeah.
And when you find that with a grapevine, you know, like you say, I'm not even going to say, you know, we spoke about something, I'm not even going to mention what you spoke about, but I'm going to give people an idea, kind of vibe. Well, I know a big artist, like big artist, and it's not confrontational. Mm. He tries, you know, most big artists don't want to be confrontational because now they've got someone in place to do your talking.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they hide behind that guy because without sounding horrible, they're pussios. You know, they ain't got no backbone.
Yeah.
So they hide behind their management or they hide behind whoever's in front to do the dirty talking for them.
Yeah.
They, you know, but the people that they're hiding who want to talk to them are their friends.
Yeah.
So I've seen. You know, a big MC told us this, that when you call a certain DJ, he'd be on the phone, like, you're calling, like, yes, yeah, they're good to hear you, bruv.
Mm.
And you'd be like, yeah, I want to book you for my party. Mm. Bruv, just ring up the agency and I'm there.
Oh, yeah.
Before your phone's down, they're calling the agency and saying, if you call, say, I'm not available.
Yeah. That's some...
I'm not even saying who these artists are. Mm. Because they don't want to be confrontational and they haven't got the backbone...
Mm.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Snaky.
Yep. And this is a fact. And I've seen, you know, I've not seen, their MCs have told us. That's what they do.
Wow.
Yes, you're on. I can't wait to do it for you. Before you even got to phone their, you know, I'm not available.
Nasty.
And you would never know.
Yeah, nasty. I hate that shit.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I hate that
when
shit.
When you hear that.
Be real.
Just say no.
Yeah.
I can or I can't.
Yeah.
I can or I can't. Or I'll try.
Yeah.
But don't...
Lead you on
I'm coming. Oh, thank you for that. To keep face. Oh, that was great. How are you anyway? How's your mum? You know what I mean? When the phone's down. I'm not available, right?
Wow. Shifty.
Yeah. That's what goes on in the scene.
That's really going on.
Yeah, it happens.
Even now.
Up to now.
Wow.
And that to me is like, come on, man. These are the people that are your pals, man.
It shouldn't be like that in a scene.
That's what happens when you get to the top.
Ugh.
When you get to the top, people scared. They're scared to be pushed off the top. So you become, you know, without sounding horrible, you become just a monkey, like an idiot. They pull the strings, you jump. How high should I jump, sir? Because why? Because they're putting 50 grand a month into your account. But to me, if you're going to do that for money, you might as well turn around and bend over and take one up the shutter. You know what I'm saying? for every time someone pays you. Yeah. That's what you are. Yeah. You're just a
pawn.
Yeah.
In the whole.
You're just nothing,
game.
Man. You got no backbone. You're more concerned about the money.
Yeah.
And them things, and that's how they get you.
Yeah. They get you like that.
And that's how they. I know friends like that. They're scared to because they're scared what they're going to lose.
But it crushes the scene. It kills the vibe. It means that it kind of sets a divide.
Yeah. But that's what goes on.
Wow.
At the top end.
Wow.
They're scared to tell you no because they're your friends, so they get someone else to do it.
That's some fucked up shit. Yeah.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is your personal friends, you know. You know, this ain't like this. This is someone...
What's wrong with you lot?
Yeah, they know they are. They know exactly who they are.
Wow.
They know who they are. And when you see it here and see that, you're like, wow, that is really not nice.
Yeah.
And it just shows you what the scene, it's got to that level now, where it's got to that kind of like nastiness. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Be back in the day, you'd be like, no, I'm there. And you're really going to be there. Yeah. Now it's like, you're thinking to yourself, nah, that's not a good look.
No.
It's not going to suit.
Taints it.
Or your manager, nah. Mm. That sort of, you can't play in them sort of clubs. Can't play in that sort of genre. Oh, no, you can't play old school. I had a big DJ now who plays old school now tell me back in the day, before I never stopped doing jungle. I was doing D&B. And he used to say to me, Brocky, you need to stop doing jungle, playing at jungle raves, because you're going to be labelled. I'm like, but I'm a junglist. That's where I'm from. So when you're saying I'm going to be labelled, I don't understand. What do you mean labelled into what? Oh, that you're going to get booked for old school raves. No, but I play jump up and up, new stuff. So why would that happen? That happened now. Cut a long story short, this person, this is why you got to do what you do. Don't listen to people's, this person, and you just tell me that. I had a few artists that, big artists.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to say who, because he knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Big artists, big artists, plays that jungle raves.
Hmm.
I had to call the promoter, who's my friend, not to badmouth him, but to say like, I can't believe he's on your party. He told me not to do your raves.
Wow.
And they're like, yeah, Brox, we got him.
Wow.
Next thing you know, I saw him on raves that even I would have thought, I can't believe you're doing that.
Wow.
There's two artists, big artists in the last couple of years that have changed the whole what they're doing, and we all know who they are.
Wow.
But one of them was one that was told us all, Fuhrer, don't do that.
Really?
Don't play. Yeah, he told me personally. We fell out. Don't play jungle. You're playing too much jungle, Brox. You keep playing this jungle raid. But when jungle became the biggest thing, like go back about 3-4 remember, this jungle blew up massive.
Yeah.
Thousands of people. It was ram. Switch.
Wow.
And now they're playing at jungle raves every weekend.
Really?
But I got the last laugh.
Because
I know what you said to me. And it wasn't just me you said it to. And amongst us, me and my friends who you said it to, we speak about it.
Really?
And we're like, yeah, what a cunt. But it shows you, do your thing.
Yeah.
Don't listen to people.
Don't listen to nothing.
Do what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Don't listen to people. Don't let someone tell you what you should do.
Mm.
Like, oh, don't play this, don't play that. No, don't. Because they're ultimate hypocrites.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, or they're seeing something in you that scares them, that you might better them.
Yeah.
So they want to push you back.
That's really what it is.
It works both ways. I always look at things, if you're someone saying you don't do something, why are you telling me that? What are you scared of?
Well, actually, because you can read deeper.
What are you worried about? What are you saying you don't do that for? Because you're scared.
Yeah. You've got to keep your sword sharp with things like that. You've got to read deeper into what's going on surface.
Even as friends or not, you've got to understand this. Yeah. But in a competitive world, when someone's telling you don't do something, you've got to look into it.
Yeah.
Don't just take it face value. You're like, oh, he's got my back.
Yeah.
No, when it's music,
why? Yeah.
You tell me don't do it. Yeah. Why?
You've got to look deeper.
Like, what's the problem? And this person told us, don't do it.
Wow.
And now they're even saying to make sure they're headlined.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So have a look on your headline flyers and see. Brocky, you've always been a sign of excellence, guarantee. What it says is what it does, and you deliver. I mean, you're, again, it's highlighted on this podcast. You've spoken honestly, frankly, nothing short of what I was hoping for as a hero and somebody, an acquaintance that I've seen rock for many, many years.
Yeah.
What's the future?
The future's just me and Det, really.
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not, me, like I said, me and Det, we're working on an album right now.
Woo! okay.
Yeah, our first album.
That was a casual, what, the what? Yeah, wicked.
Yeah, you might be getting a call, don't worry about that. Your dad's mentioned you.
Yeah,
what we're trying to do, we're trying to like do the album like, not just drum and bass, of course, we're more than that. So Det would do a few his things and we have a jungle track, we might have a couple of reggae tracks on
Brilliant.
We might have a hardcore track. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a journey.
Love it.
And our journey is not just going to be one sound. Mm. Our journey hasn't been one sound.
Yeah.
And because I'm doing it with Det, we're trying to, like this, like all the grime guys, like the Wileys and, you know, Stormzy and all them guys and Skeptors and all them. We know them all, as you know, we know them all personally. So we're going to try and make them join in, you know,
Fantastic.
As well. Not only like a little bar, a few bars.
Yeah.
It might even just be a skip, you know, like big up Brocky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just to show people.
We need that for the scene. This is
there's
great.
There's more going
Bring
on.
Bring it together. Yeah.
Yeah, we just come together. You know, like you said, Flowered, and we're happy for him.
Yeah.
And I see Double O getting involved now.
No.
You know, like, yeah, we're all watching. No worry. But I like, isn't it? Like, once again,
Serious.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And these guys love. We know these guys personally, and they love jungle. You know, they just didn't make it in it.
Mm.
Like you said, so they went and done their own thing.
Did their thing.
Bless their soul.
Yeah.
Because when they done that, it at one point was worrying when I'm, you know, because they took all the girls out of our music, but at the same time...
Added a different colour
to
the palette of music coming from the UK. And that's what I love about the UK. And by the sounds of it, this album that you're doing reflects that.
Yeah, it's the album reflects everything. Mm. You know, about the scene and about London and about living in inner cities. And living in inner cities is colourful, it's joyful, it's dangerous, and it's knowledgeable. Mm. You know what I mean? It's everything that you want to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you survive in inner cities, I would say you could survive anywhere in the
1,000%.
World. I really believe that. If you can survive, you know, of course, if you get caught in a jungle, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're not used to snake spiders. Yeah. But anyway, you know what I mean?
There's certainly no road signs.
Yeah, but any other city, you know, and that's what London is to me. Mm. London represents jungle and D&B in the sense where it's just everything. It's colourful and it's brightful and how it's supposed to be. You know, I've always compared jungle and D&B to Benetton.
Mm.
And people always like, why do you say Benetton? I say because Benetton was about the many colours.
Mm.
You ever forget what Benetton meant?
Mm.
The many colours of Benetton.
Mm.
And they'd have all the colours.
I love that.
And that's what, to me, jungle and D&B is. It's like a rainbow.
Mm.
And at the end of the rainbow, there's a golden pot. And I hope everyone finds it. But it's about, we're all together in this thing.
Yeah,
all the colours together make a beautiful rainbow. If it's just one colour, it's dull.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's about more colours being involved. And that's what got me into the rave scene. Because I used to be into reggae.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was black. I'm black, so of course I'm happy about that.
Mm.
But I knew there was more going on in life. You know, like, I need to do something else.
Yeah.
And my friend's like, bro, you should come to this rave scene. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? What's that about? It's like, boom, boom. I'm like, no. What was that? I'm used to, do, do, do. What was this? Boom, boom. But then I got in there, I'm like, why are these people really having it?
Yeah.
And no one cares who you are. You know, I'm not going to lie. Someone said to me, Brox, drop this E, mate. I'm like, what? What's that about?
Yeah.
What, love Dove? Like, Ruben Custard? I'm like, okay, what's that about? He said, yeah, just take half of that, Brox. You'll be flying. I'm like, a bit worried about that. But hell no, let's have a go. Took half. I was flying.
Never looked back. Never touched the
ground. I was the best dancer in the rave. I loved everybody. And everyone loved me because we were all on the same vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And that's what got, you know, so I was a raver, of course, before I was a DJ. And I took ease like everybody else. But at the same time, I looked up on the stage and thought, I want to be up there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And I'm doing all this on the dance floor, but I'm looking like, you know, you look at all the rays.
This is a
look
bit
at this
me.
Guy. There's one guy. You're like, wow, they're amazing. So am I. I'm like, wow, it's unbelievable. I thought, I need to be up there.
I need a bit of this.
So I had to work my way over years to make sure I got up there.
Fuck.
But what got me into the rave scene in them days was, like, it was easy. You had no choice. It was four to the floor. There wasn't very much. There
Just
was
like
no soul.
Everyone else, yeah.
There was no soul in the music.
No.
So if you didn't do drugs, you couldn't just rave to that music.
Nah.
It was impossible. It wasn't made to rave. Like, it wasn't made for you to stand there and go home. Mm. It was made for drugs.
Yeah.
I don't, techno, happy hardcore, them things were made all about with drugs involved. The people that made them were on drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, you know, like that when they're making them.
Yeah, yeah. Because, so you've got to be in line. You've got to fall in line.
And a lot of people, most of the artists I know, got in the same way as me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you didn't think you couldn't get in just to being a DJ or an MC, because for that someone had to own a rave.
Yeah, yeah.
And our friends didn't have raves. You know, unless you were lucky enough that your friend had a big rave, like your friend done Well Dance. But even then, your friend at Well Dance ain't going to put no name down. You had to work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hard to get into that main room. But the, you know, but so drugs was the main thing that got everyone I know, and everyone called me the devil. And my friend's like, "You're the devil. How can you listen to that devil music?" I'm like, "What's that?" They're like, "That boom boom star." I'm like, "Ain't devil music." They're like, "Cause they see me. Don't forget, they see me come home in 4 or 5 in the morning, with my eyes red."
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to play for semi-professional football. Mm-hmm. I played Saturday and Sunday, and I played for my borough. Wow. I had to rave on Saturday, buzzing, go to play football, fucking a gallon of orange, trying to clear my head, and then the ball's getting kicks in my face. I thought, I can't do this no more. So something I had to
The rave has taken me.
That's exactly what happened. I wasn't just the only person it happened to, loads of people, and the rave just took me. And I thought, you know what, this football thing, I'm not going to be in here, right? I've enjoyed the racing. I'm not going to be in Ian Wright. I was all right. I wasn't that good. Yeah. So I would have gone and played some records instead. I could do over that side. That's what took me.
And kick ass doing it as well.
Yeah, that's what got me into the rave scene was drugs.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyone that says they didn't, they're a liar. Anyone that said I got into racing because of the music, you're a liar.
So funny, because it does come out on the podcasts eventually. I'll spare the names, but the amount of times, like,
people come up with the same
story. Yeah, they come up with the same story.
They might hold it down for long enough, but just give them an hour or two.
Yeah, yeah. Start breaking out, yeah.
They got because it's the reality. Yeah, yeah. The music was so
empowering and new and
it was made influenced. It was made for that vibe. Mm-hmm. It was made for drugs. Anyone that said, you know, techno, all that music was made for drugs.
Is that going to be reflected on the new album?
Yeah, we're going to do a techno track.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I've got friends that make techno.
Amazing.
So we're going to hook up with them and, you know, have a techno track on
and some Rare Groove as well.
Yeah, 100%.
You got vocalists in mind for that?
Yeah, we've got a girl. Yeah, we've got one girl. She's all right.
It's got to be Kelly LaRock.
Yeah.
Got some Kelly LaRock.
Yeah, that's Det's friend.
Yo, Kelly Det's all day.
Good friend.
Yeah, Kelly's good peoples.
Yeah, she's lovely, man. Yeah. I watched her the other day on that some podcast show. Yeah.
The best one she does on the Killer Keller podcast.
You didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you're bigger and better than that. But I'm not going to knock your choices because I love you.
So the album is on its way and life is good. East London is most definitely in safe hands then.
Hopefully.
You know what I mean?
Hopefully. Yeah, definitely. I mean, hopefully.
Brocky, it's been a fucking pleasure having you on.
I was chatting for the world, weren't I?
Nah, brother. This is what podcasts are about. I feel like I've learned so much, and what's more exciting is that you've got a future flourishing in new album works.
Yeah,
you and Det together.
Yeah,
and hopefully have both of you on the podcast again at some point.
We've got a lot going on. Really, you know, we've got the new Cool FM's been sold and
bang on. Yeah, back in the room.
Bought by Rinse. Yeah. Genius, them guys.
Incredible.
And I'm of course at the forefront of that.
Yeah,
you know, because of how long I've been with Cool, so I'm part of that deal. You know what I mean? That was sold with Cool, so. You know, the only way is up, man. You know what I mean? The future's looking interesting.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
But, you know, my eyes are open and I'm aware and I'm not bitter and I'm not red-eye and I'm not, you know, I focus on my lane, what I'm doing. What everyone else is doing, that's good for them, but I focus on me. You know what I mean? And my friends around me, and I focus on Det and I focus on Cool FM and everyone around that circle, because that's my people. Anything outside of that is not my concern.
See, that's the way to go about it, people. Do you know what I mean? Some lessons, some industry lessons and life lessons all in one.
Yeah, focus on your own shit. Yeah. Stop watching other people. Yeah. The more you watch, the better, the further they're getting and the further you're falling behind.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're too red-eye watching
them. Yeah, busy. Busy watching them.
They're not watching you, but you're watching them. And then you go on custom or go on social media and write crap about them. And
it's not worth it.
You think they're interested? That's just weak, bad-minded egos in
facts.
The game.
Facts.
But thanks for having us, though.
My brother. It's been so good to finally chop it up.
It's been a pleasure, man. Thank you for having us.
No, come on, guy. Listen, Brocky inside the building. Heroes inside the place, yo. North Weezy was feeling pretty good for this period of time. going to go back to East, back into the dungeon and start working on some of these tunes, and hopefully we'll have both him and Depp back in due course. Killer Keller podcast, out like in was out of fashion, serves you right, sharing is caring. Remember, crime don't pay, but neither do they, all right? Don't talk to an I wouldn't. You stay lucky, people. Nice one, Rocky. Peace.